Our reading today is from Romans chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 13. It was not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir to the world, but through the righteous that comes through faith. For if those who live by law are heirs, faith has no value, and the promise is worthless, because law brings wrath. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so it may be by grace, and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed. The God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he'd promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification.
Thank you, Colin, for that reading. I've deliberately chosen that picture as we reflect on our topic for today. I saw that picture on someone's news feed on social media. A little boy somewhere in Africa, obviously, looking quite skeptical and giving an innocently suspicious look to a missionary lady, a white missionary lady, maybe from here or from the US, I don't know. And so as I was thinking about our topic today, faithfulness, I was thinking about this picture, and I think this describes a lot of us today as human beings, especially without Christ. You will agree with me that we live in a broken world, and also we may have gone through painful experiences, as we've mentioned a few people, and some of these things might cause us to lose our trust in others. And I have met people who have trust issues. Some people have trust issues, maybe genuinely due to heartbreaks or betrayals in the workplace. And I get that, you know. I get it. But it's easy, you know, when we have such going around and in our minds, it's easy for us to slip slightly into doubt and into cynicism. And so I think for this reason, faithfulness as a fruit of the Spirit can be a challenging fruit to possess. So you see that English idiom, I put it on that picture. I saw the picture somewhere and put that English idiom. I'll believe it when I see it. It tends to rule our words today. It tends to rule what people do. And I think that idiom glorifies opportunism. And of course, I believe it glorifies skepticism. And it makes it hard for anyone to develop true faithfulness. And so having said all this, I strongly believe that faithfulness is such a needed fruit of the Spirit. And I wonder, looking at the little boy and also looking at this idiom, I wonder if you find yourself sometimes thinking this way about people, about systems, about order. And I don't know if you've had any heartbreak. I don't know if you have trust issues. Maybe we need to actually allow the Holy Spirit to produce the fruit of faithfulness in us. I'd like to talk to us in sort of three ways today. Number one, I'd like to kind of let us think about what is faithfulness, or why should we allow the Spirit to produce faithfulness in us. And also, I would like to suggest some of the things and ways we could grow in faithfulness. And I'll end and finish by posing some questions to us. I've been thinking about some of these questions, and I'd like us to go home thinking about the questions I'll give us as I close. Right, when we think of faithfulness, our minds will quickly run to marriage, our friendship, or even thinking about patriotic citizens who are faithful to their nation as we remember them today and as we've observed the 2 minutes silence as we do. We also think about, thinking about someone being a faithful spouse, remaining faithful to their husband or their wife, and sticking to their marriage vows no matter what. When you look in the Cambridge Dictionary, it describes the adjective faithful as, and I quote from there, firm and not changing in your friendship with or support for someone or an organization, or in your belief in your principles. And with that, we could say someone is a faithful follower or a faithful member of South Coast Family Church. And I've heard this said about someone, her faithful dog, old dog, accompanied her everywhere she went. And we know how faithful our pets could be. And we have loyal friends who are steadfast in affection and allegiance. And we have people who are faithful in keeping their promises and also fulfills their duties. But having said all that, the spiritual fruit of faithfulness is similar, but a little bit different, because it applies to all areas of a believer's life. A believer's life, underline that. A believer, because it's only a believer that produces the spiritual fruit of faithfulness. We could be faithful to a cause, we could be faithful to our spouses, we could be faithful to our friends, but when we talk about faithfulness to God, of course, it's only reserved for believers, especially our relationship with Jesus Christ. So faithfulness to Jesus, faithfulness to God, is sort of in direct contrast with our faithfulness as the apostle began in verses 19 to 21, if we have it on screen. In 19 to 21, we were faithful to the acts of the flesh. We were faithful to what we did. who were faithful to whatever that controlled us. And you could see people being faithful to, using that word, faithful to their little pint. You could see people being faithful to a lifestyle that without Christ, it is very difficult to break, right? But now, our faithfulness turned. We are now faithful to God. Now the works of the flesh are evident, and he lists them there. The works of the flesh. Anyone who is not in Christ is said to be faithful to these things because they control them. These things control anyone who is not faithful to Christ. And that's why in another place, the apostle says, I don't know what is happening to me because what I want to do, I don't do. What I don't want to do is what I do, describing the life that is faithful to the flesh. But as we go on, I don't know if you've noticed a pattern with all these fruits of the Spirit. Have you noticed a pattern? All of the spirit, fruit of the Spirit follow this pattern, that God is faithful, and so he wants us to be faithful. God is kind, he wants us to be kind. God is love himself, and he wants us to live in love. So notice this pattern. And I was praying yesterday, and I was asking myself, why this pattern? And I feel the Spirit of God was talking to me. I felt him speaking to me. Why? Is because this is my nature that I want to see in you. Because God is faithful. Why he is working in my life is for me to be faithful. And that's, I believe, the pattern. That's why the pattern. God is the one that is faithful to his promises. He promised us never to leave us. He promised us to always answer our prayers. And he is faithful. He will always be faithful to his promises. And if you just look back, flash your mind back from the time you gave your life to Christ, even though you've been up through ups and downs, you could quietly remember that even in those downs and ups and all those things, God has been faithful. Is it true? Yes, it is. I believe it's true in my life. I don't know about you, but it is true in my life that if I flash back and I will just believe that God is faithful. But you know, sometimes the enemy will want me to think otherwise. He want me to believe otherwise, you know, especially when I go down or when I am feeling very low in about things. The enemy will have a way of suggesting to me that God is not faithful. But if I look very deep, I will come to, yes, yes, you are faithful because you said this, you will do this, and you have done it. Even though sometimes you do it differently, you don't do it the way I had anticipated that you would do it, but I see your hand upon my life. I see your hand upon my family. I see your hand upon my children. I see your hand upon my, you know, my elderly ones, my old mom that lives on her own. I see your hand upon all these things. And I see your hand upon all that I go through. God is faithful. Say that with me, will you? God is faithful. And that is it. He wants to produce the spirit of faithfulness, the fruit of faithfulness in us. Now, why faithfulness? I believe, number one, faithfulness shapes how we trust God and remain loyal to him and to sound doctrine. I want you to underline that. Faithfulness shapes how we trust God and remain loyal to him and to sound doctrine. Essentially, faithfulness to God is loyalty to him and to his teachings. I don't know if you've noticed, reading from various versions of the scripture, some of them translate this fruit of the Spirit as faith, just faith. I don't know if you read some of the, especially King James and some other translations. Go back today and read again. Some of the translations render this fruit of the Spirit as just faith and not faithfulness. And I think this is okay. It's completely okay because it carries the meaning of two things. One, belief in God and conviction that Jesus is the Messiah. through whom we receive eternal life, right? And also, faith, this fruit of the Spirit also carries the meaning of trustworthiness and reliability. And so the fact of us trusting God and remaining loyal to Him and His doctrines reflect the fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness in our lives. So Christian faithfulness, as I've described, therefore, is continued and consistent submission and obedience to the one who provides the ability for us to be faithful. Because He is the one that provides the ability for us to be faithful. Left alone on myself, I cannot do it. But empowered by His Spirit, I am able to remain faithful to Him, loyal to Him, and faithful to His sound doctrine. Because there are things flying across, especially in our day and age. There are things, crazy things going on today in the name of teachings of Christ in some quarters. But faithfulness to God and to the sound doctrine will enable me to always go back to the scripture I believe and I hold there. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is given and is profitable for reproof, for teaching, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture is given by God. If all scripture is given by God, I should also interpret the scripture through His own way and not my own way. Now, going back to the scripture that talks about faith, I don't know if you've sometimes read about the Hebrews, read the people mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, and we can read, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. And so it goes on also from verse 8 to verse 12 and about Sarah and about Abraham that we've read from our key scripture this morning, and says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. He went out. And I believe, as he was doing this, he didn't even know the clear picture, but by faith, and remaining faithful and loyal to the one who called him. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And also he says about Sarah, by faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in the multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. The story of Abraham, as we read here, and as also we've read from Romans, demonstrates the importance of faithfulness. So we could see that Abraham and Sarah really struggled to trust God. And I tell you, sometimes we do struggle to trust God. Sometimes with things, and sometimes when prayers are delayed, answers delayed to come. Sometimes, like Sarah and Abraham, we struggle to trust God. But they learned the value of faithfulness when they submitted to God's own faithfulness. And so after so many years, the Lord gave them a son. And you know, because of the lack of faith on Sarah's side, she insisted, if you read the story, the whole story, that Hagar, her maid, will give birth to her son. And if you know the story, I don't want to go deep into that sort of story, but, you know, it resulted in pain and conflict. And, you know, sometimes when we cut corners, we put ourselves in a position that we are finding difficult. When we don't trust God and when he's not very fast in coming, we try to get it our own way. Sometimes we get into real deep trouble. However, when Abraham and Sarah put their faith in God, Sarah was able to give birth to Isaac. And she did it despite being past the childbearing age. And so, ultimately, I just want to relate that with faithfulness in our own day. And I believe this story shows how God blesses those who are faithful and trust in him. I'd like us to read together from Romans chapter 8, verse 25, verse 18 to 25. Can you read with me, please? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not knowingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but you also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. For if we are saved, it is hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For I am just one. For God to do not sin. For we are saved in this hope. But hope that is not seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? Yeah? If we are hoping for what we've seen already, then this is not faithfulness. But against hope, we believe in hope that whatever he has promised us, even while we are still groaning with the rest of creation, we believe that what he has said and what we hope for, we wait for it with perseverance because we know that he will come through for us. And then, why faithfulness? Again, faithfulness, I believe, also greatly influences how we act as believers and how we love others. Remember the first one, I believe faithfulness helps us to be loyal to God and to his sound doctrine. Again, I also believe that faithfulness as a fruit of the Spirit helps us in how we now relate to other believers and indeed to other people. Like we saw in that picture and I was describing, we live in a broken world. So the Holy Spirit, I believe, is the one that is active in our lives, you know, producing this faithfulness in us. Because you remember when Jesus prayed in John chapter 17 for his disciples, he said, they are in the world, but not of the world. And I believe true of ourselves also. We are in the world, but not of the world. And so we can be truly committed to God, even in this crazy world, because of the fruit of the Spirit. And so don't fear of what will happen. But if you remain connected to the vine, he will always help us to be faithful. There was once when someone asked a question in our little group, not here, somewhere else, when he says that the sin and blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is the one that will not be forgiven. And then the person was afraid, what if I do that abominable sin, an unforgiven a forgivable sin? And I remember answering him saying, any true child of God cannot commit that unabominable sin. If you are a true child of God, you cannot blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. You cannot go to that point that you will commit the sin that will not be able to be forgiven. Because that shows the person has given over him or herself to the hand of the enemy and has now attributed whatever God does or is doing in him or her to the devil. And no true child of God can come to that point when they will now attribute what God has done to them to the demons. And so if we remain faithful and connected to him, he will help us to carry ourselves in the world today. And also faithfulness enables us to submit our ways to God, because it's difficult for us, just as it was to Abraham and Sarah. But as they remained faithful to God, God helped them to pull through fine. So when we are truly faithful to God and allow him, he will help us and make his will. As he says in Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's plan that prevails. Before I go to the question, I'd like to say also finally that faithfulness empowers us as believers to endure temptation, persecution, and trials for Christ. Because if the Lord helps me to remain faithful to him, no matter what I go through, I will remain committed to him, no matter what. And I'll read for us 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. I know you remember this passage. No temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. It is his faithfulness in me that helps me to endure temptation, to endure persecution. And there are many people today, as we sit in our cozy room, there are people today who are not able to gather as we are. They are under severe persecution just because they believe in Christ. And some of them are remaining faithful to Christ, even in spite of what they go through. And I believe that's the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit in them working. Even in the face of danger, they remain faithful to the cause of Christ. Even when that person is clear that he's heading or she is heading to be hanged, they remain faithful. You cannot do this on your own except the fruits of the Spirit in you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 4 says, therefore, among God's churches, talking about the Thessalonic church in Thessalonica, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. Let me suggest to us how we might be able to grow in the Spirit. Number one, I believe we can grow in faithfulness by having a personal relationship with Christ. Having a personal relationship with Christ, which I did in my life, in my late teens. You know, the people today, especially in this, don't get me wrong, I pray you don't. I have met people who were born in church. You know, their dad were born in the church, their granddad were born in the church in this nation, in this country. But it wasn't the same for me. My dad was not born in church. My granddad never even became a Christian. Grandparents never even became a Christian. But my parents became at some point, and I did. I became a Christian. Even now, there are people who, where I grew up, they are still not Christians. They are still following the African traditional religion, which is a talk for another day, right? I can answer you when you just flash me down and ask me. It doesn't mean they are not going to heaven. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not going there. But anyway, I became a Christian at some point, and I now have a personal relationship with Christ. And I like to say this for the benefit of doubt. Whether you are born in church, or your parents were born in church, or you are like me that became a Christian, but the thing is, we all have a personal relationship with Christ. You've made that personal decision, not because you were taken to church, but because at some point you decided to make it your own. But it's a good thing. It's a good thing that our parents, for example, or grandparents helped us, right? But it's left on us now to carry that through. So that you are here listening to me, even if you are the person that your parents or grandparents, but for the fact you are here, it's your personal choice. You've made it your personal relationship with Christ. And so that is what helps our faithfulness to grow. When we have a personal relationship, not a reported relationship. You know, when we have a personal relationship with Christ, not us coming to church because someone told us, asked us to come to church and we're just there to check them out. We are there, but we are not there. That's what I mean. But for the fact you are here and you've made that commitment, and there are people who have been here even from the day this building was dedicated, and they remain faithful and they have been faithful. That personal relationship with Christ, not because someone forced me, not because someone asked me, because I chose on my own to come and remain faithful to Christ. That helps us to grow in faithfulness when we own it up as our own. He helps us to grow in faithfulness with Christ. And so if we truly are faithful to him and obey his commands, it will be evident in our lives. Also, I'd like to also suggest to us that we grow in faithfulness when we use the power that God has given us through his Spirit. All right? There was a time, I believe, I don't know about you, but I think you do, you believe that God heals sicknesses. You believe in divine healing. You believe that God answers prayers. Do you believe God answers prayers? Of course, I know you do. And I remember I told you a little story about myself, maybe not for today, but I told you I used to live in a place you prayed for everything. You prayed for energy, right? You don't depend on British gas, but you prayed for energy. You prayed for water. You know, it's something in this country, and also I've always told my little ones, always have a mind when you put on that tap and you have running water. There are people somewhere that don't have clean water. So don't waste things. Don't waste food. There are food thrown away today. Waste. You know, you go, people buy what they don't really need because they have the means to buy. And I was telling our little group on Wednesday, and just so you know, we have really beautiful times on Wednesdays after the coffee and chat. So if you want to drop in and join us, I was telling them that when you are in a place that you open your wardrobe, listen carefully, and you've seen there is a cloth there, you know, something there that you haven't used in the past 5 months, maybe think again. Maybe there is a shoe you haven't put on in the last 5 months. Think again. Do you really need it? There are people in some parts of the world, they put on the same clothing day in, day out, and you are here, and there are some in your wardrobe that you've not even touched, you've not even used. And sometimes you go to grocery and they've 2 for a pound, 2 for the price of 1. You don't need to let me know what I need. When I need them, I'll get them. I don't need cells for me to buy what I need. I know what I need when I know when I need them. 2 for the price of 1, you end up buying them and you waste them. There are people, some parts of the world, they are dying hunger, and people waste food in this country. Maybe we think about them. So back to my story, there was a time I prayed. I live in a place I prayed for everything. Sometimes we could set up a meeting like this and we pray that there will be energy. We rely on prayer. And you know what? 99.9% of the time, it happens. Just the minute we want to begin the meeting, light arrives. Energy comes. From where? I don't know. And yeah, when you live in such place, I think your faith will be stretched. And you will know the value of faithfulness, being faithful to God. And so my challenge to us as I close is to bring us these questions. They are self-examination questions about faithfulness. Are there things that are getting in your way of faithfulness? Maybe a habit. Maybe something you love doing so much. Maybe a relationship. Are there things that are getting in my way of my faithfulness to God? Number two, what areas of my life have I not given over to God? Have I submitted to Him wholeheartedly? Are there some areas that maybe my finances, maybe my children, maybe whatever they are there some areas? Do you want to hear another story about me? Time. But I tell you, there are some people who find it difficult to surrender some areas of their lives, to let it go. So as I think about my life today, I want you to go in home thinking about maybe what you have on your in your wardrobe. I'm not suggesting you go throw them away, right? I'm just making an illustration. It doesn't matter. It should be your personal choice. But I'm just saying. I'm not saying you should do. It's down at the end of the day, down to personal choice. Of course, you know me. And another question I want us to go home thinking: how loyal am I to God? Does God remain first priority in my life? Is He number one in my life? What obstacles are there to my faithfulness? Do I have difficulty trusting God? We live in a world that people have trust issues. Do we have trust issues with God? When we pray, do we really believe in our prayers? Or we just pray religiously? Do we really believe in what we are asking? Or are we like the apostles that were praying that Peter will be released, but they still didn't believe in their prayers? What areas of my life have I not completely given over to God? And as we ask ourselves these questions, let's pray, praying for ourselves. Silently praying for yourself. I want us to ask God to make these things clear to us so that He can help us to grow in our faithfulness. Back in the day, there was a song we used to sing. Proclaiming that God alone is faithful. He is able. I know He is able. I know my God is able to carry me through. My God is able. He's able, I know He is able. I know my God is able to carry me through. Yes, Lord, You made a way through the Red Sea, O Lord. You broke through for the people of the old. You came through for Abraham and Sarah. And Lord, we trust You. Help us to trust You. And remain trusting You, Lord. For whatever we go through, Lord, as we walk this earth, we pray that You will help us to remember Your word and to remain faithful to You. Lord, for the rest of the day and for the week ahead of us, we pray, Lord, that You will allow Your word to sing and to repeat in our lives, in our hearts, reminding us of the need to remain faithful and loyal to you and to trust you in spite of what we go through. No matter what we might find ourselves in, you are able to see us through. You are able to carry us through. And we thank you for our lives, O Lord. And we thank you, O Lord, for brethren who are not here. We know your love and your spirit is also with them wherever they are. And we, Lord, we thank you for those who live on their own, that you'll be faithful to help them and to support them. As a church, Lord, help us to remain loyal and faithful to sound doctrine and to the cause of Christ. Help us, Lord, no matter what wind of doctrine, no matter what is going on around us today, to remain loyal and faithful to the written word of God and to shine the light of Christ to people around us, Lord. We pray that this will be done for us to the glory of your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for answering us. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.